Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me to help you be a more informed better for the Final Four is Sean Lockhart, sports betting consultant. You can follow him on Twitter at TheRealPapaBear. Sean, great to have you back on the show.
Thanks for having me, Rob. We've made it through a phenomenal March Madness period. We're at the Final Four, ready to crown a champion. It's good to have a basketball season come to a conclusion here.
Yeah, very much so. And you were last on in the conference tournaments pre-March Madness. And one of the things that made me smile, I was looking back to seeing what we were talking about then. And we wanted to fade Texas. We wanted to fade Kansas. But then one curious thing stood out to me in my notes. It said, Pac-12. What should we care about? And there was actually no team listed there because going into the tournament, it was all Big Ten and no Pac-12. And little did we know that the Pac-12 would be the toast of March Madness.
I watched a lot of Pac-12 all season. I went to Arizona State University. They're my team. I stay up late. I watched that conference all year long. And I did think they were okay, but I did not see this coming. I think they did have a lot of good teams, obviously maybe not some great teams that could win the title, but man, I did not see that Pac-12 wave coming. That Oregon State story was beyond me. My Sun Devils beat that Oregon State team pretty badly, and to have that team make it as far as they did, but that's why they call it March Madness. You get five guys playing at a high level. Anything is possible in March.
Is there anything we can learn from the run that both UCLA and Oregon State are on? And we're going to get to the UCLA-Gonzaga matchup, but more specifically, these double-digit seeds from a major conference that sneak in and all of a sudden become a juggernaut. And we've certainly seen the hot team a la Kemba Walker at UConn, but it's such a unique thing to see this Oregon State team go as far as it did in this UCLA team as well.
It's like I said, it's shocking. I don't know if there's anything you can necessarily learn. Just being a basketball player myself, I think it's a confidence. You can't even look at statistics or efficiency numbers or anything from those teams during the regular season about how good they are playing right now, how each guy stepping into a shot is just in his mind, it's going in. UCLA was dead to rights in that play-in game against Michigan State. I had Michigan State in that. I remember thinking, watching that game, I think this bet's going to win numerous times. And then UCLA pulls it out, and now they're in the Final Four. It's just amazing. It's madness.
So speaking of that UCLA-Michigan State game, I think this is a great way to talk about how March Madness has gone for us, because you and I are extremely candid with the ups and downs of sports betting, as well as our mindset around this. And after that, we'll get to breaking down each of the games. But you mentioned that Michigan State game, and it's funny because I was heavy on Michigan State, not because the entire public was, because I had a $100 free roll and a $25 double up from some sports books. So it's like, well, of course I'll take Michigan State money line for a free 100 and a free double up right there. And to see what went from the first half to the second half, to see where UCLA is right now really is almost representative of the roller coaster nature that March Madness has been, because my journey started off 0-7 to start March Madness. And I was like, oh my God. So it was like Mount St. Mary's first one, boom, let's do this. And then Michigan State, boom, let's do this double. And it was like just L, 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 L. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm getting so gun shy here. Thankfully, I was able to recover with sort of like an 11-5, then 3-3, and then 4-7, and then 6-2. To where over the last 30 days, I've been 66-60, which gets me right around 52%. So slight, like I'm down like not even one full unit. It's been great from an entertainment standpoint. But I want to see if you could share a little bit more about your experience, because for me, it has been a series of dealing with my emotions, because when you start poorly or you hit a cold streak at any point, you can feel like you're never going to win a bet again.
And that's what I always say, some of the best advice I've ever got in sports betting. When you're winning, it feels like you will never lose again. And when you are losing, it feels like you will never win again. And neither of those are true because it always turns, it always evens out generally. I'm the same way. I bet on almost now 400 college basketball games on the season. And I started off red hot. The regular season went just a dream start. I was seeing it so well. And then March came and the conference tournaments came and I got clobbered. And it was a mixture of some bad luck, also some bad handicapping, but it just kind of snowballs. And when you hit those coolers, it's incredibly mentally draining. And then you start the actual NCAA tournament, which I actually haven't done so poor on. But those lines, especially in the first round, are so tight. You're watching those games. I can think of, you know, that Liberty-Oklahoma State game comes down to a tip at the end. Every game seems, even the totals are just so spot on. You lose one, but the losing eventually always ends. And you always look big picture. That's why I might not be having the March that I wanted. But if you would tell me, hey, you're up 20 units heading into the Final Four over the entire season, over the entire body of work of the college basketball season, if you were to tell me that before the season started, I'd take it. And that's exactly where I'm at. So I can think of that, keep a positive mind frame on where I'm at on the whole season instead of looking like, man, I got murdered in the Sweet 16. I lost a lot of my profit. You got to look big picture. You got to look positive. It's the only way to approach sports betting.
Yeah, and I think something you said resonates with me when we had Bill Krakenberger on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. One thing he talked about is he bets more on the regular season than he does in the postseason in the tournament. Why? For what you said, the lines are much sharper, and it's the same thing when you get to bowl season in college football or even NFL playoffs, where one of the advantages we have as sports bettors is being able to pick and choose our spots. When you have so many opportunities, and certainly if you specialize in a specific conference or a type of team, boom, you can be a lot more exact with what you're doing. But when it comes to conference tournaments and March Madness, I am betting on every single game, as are a large majority of the people listening to this. So by design, we are doing something that may not be as advantageous for us as it would be when we're building our regular bankroll during the regular season. It's why we so often practice bankroll or preach bankroll management, because for me, I've been able to stomach these ups and downs because my bankroll and my units has stayed consistent right there. And I know that I trust in my process, in that I am going to inevitably, things are going to even out. I know over the course of a year or a lifetime that I am a profitable bettor. Doesn't mean I'm hitting 58% or 60%, but it means that I'm good enough to at least host a podcast about sports betting on a consistent basis and help people be informed and live vicariously through each other and help us try and put ourselves in the best position to succeed.
I think you hit the nail on the head there. That's it. During the regular season, I mean, there's 150 college basketball games to bet on. I remember I had a couple 9-1 days, and now we're looking at there's two games to bet on, and these lines are super sharp. You know, it's the way it is. So I agree with Bill Krakenberger. Same thing. You just got to keep the bankroll management. If you make a bunch of money during the regular season, don't up your units during the postseason. Just keep it the same. If you do hit a rough patch, it sucks, but it's not going to crush it. You're still fine.
One thing that has been a big victory for me during March Madness has actually been college basketball props. This is something that was newer to me this year, and I think certainly with more sports books becoming available in more locations, now you're getting a larger variety of options in betting. And this is sort of something that dovetails on everything that I've been preaching about the NFL season and the college football season, where I was spending less time on the spreads as I was in props and live betting. Why? Because I felt like the lines weren't as sharp and I had a little bit more of an advantage to that. And for me, the prop betting has been a lot of tailing people who know more than I do about given situations. Because I think when you look at college basketball props, it's very much a data heavy thing where you can say, we see a line at over under 17.5 points, but we've noticed that the player's minutes has gone down 7 minutes from the regular season, and there is value of whatever, 2 points. So at some point, what you ended up doing is you're playing a percentage game. Hey, we think that 58% of the time we're going to see more value in this line. Doesn't mean you're going to be hitting all of them, but can we go 3 for 5 on a consistent basis? And that's actually the thing that has allowed me to, when I was cool at the beginning, to ramp back up and rebuild the bankroll during March Madness, was strictly the prop betting. And I know how data-based that is in getting your edge in your decisions.
I think you're spot on with that as well. And it shows, and you look at these books, you could go in Vegas and put $50,000, $100,000 on the straight up spread of one of these Final Four games. But betting props, usually the limits are lower. These books, you might have a $500 limit, $250 limit. I've even seen locals with $100 limits on some of these prop bets. And it's exactly why, because what you said, there's a bigger edge out there for people following that very specifically than compared to all the money that just rolls in on betting an over-under or betting a spread in one of these games.
So the big challenge that I've seen that I would not recommend, but I'm doing it anyways, is the prop market changes the price pretty quickly, or they will drop the prop over under 3.5 rebounds to 2.5 and they'll change the juice. Well, oftentimes when you're dealing with small numbers, so oftentimes it'll be like over under 3.5 rebounds and I'll be looking for the under, but then it says at the other books, it's now 2.5. And you're like, well, wait a second, that is a vastly different bet. So I'm no longer on it. And then some other ones, it might be that same over under 17.5 points. That might be sitting there at minus 125, but I don't see it until whatever, a day later. Now that's sitting there at minus 152. And I'm like, all right, well, what am I going to do? The system that I'm doing, I believe in what I'm doing. So am I willing to take the minus 152 knowing that this bet is at the value of minus 125? And there's no right or wrong for this. I've been doing the pricing more. If it's at the minus 152, I'm like, you know what? I want action on the game. I'm willing to chalk it up because a win's a win or a loss is a loss. So it's not like I'm changing my unit bet. It would only be if I win, I just don't win as much. If I lose, I'm still losing anyways. But if the number's changing from 3.5 rebounds to 2.5, I'm staying away from that. So that's what I have learned in my prop bets.
No, I love it, Rob. Super sharp. You got a price shop. As you said, it's a market. Different books offer different prices, different numbers entirely. And you got to have multiple outs. Like you said, you go and you find the best one, you find the best number, and then you hit it.
All right. So let's get to the Final Four. And let's start with number one, Gonzaga taking on the 11 seed UCLA. We've got a 14 point spread over under on this one. As of taping on Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern is 134.5. And this is tied for the largest spread in the Final Four national title game with the 1996 Kentucky Syracuse national title game. And I was like, let me see what that game was about. This Kentucky team was loaded. Tony Delk, Antoine Walker, Walter McCarty, Derek Anderson, Ron Mercer. On the Syracuse side, they only had one player, John Wallace. And I remember how much I loved John Wallace. That dude was a stud. Kentucky won that game by just 9 points. So Syracuse, they covered right there. And Gonzaga is a team who has rolled through this March Madness. They have covered every game of March Madness so far. Large spreads there. On the UCLA side of things, they're 5-0 against the spread. So we've got a matchup of two teams that have been ATS darlings. And my question to you, Sean, is how do you bet against Gonzaga right now?
There's one answer. You don't, Rob. You don't. This team, I think it might be one of the best teams in all of college basketball history, but UCLA to me is just a luck box team. And you could break down, it comes down in Alabama, when they beat Alabama in overtime, Alabama shot 11 of 25 from the free throw line. They missed 14 free throws and the game went to overtime. They make one more of those. Who knows what that? Same thing with Michigan. I don't know what happened in that Michigan game. They scored, 50 points. They shot 6 of 11 from the free throw line. That was a one possession game. That's what it comes down to me. I think UCLA is playing at a high level. I love their coach. They play great defense, but I think they're a little lucky to be here. And on the other hand, you have a freight train in Gonzaga. The only thing I see taking UCLA is if the championship game is 2 days later, what incentive does Gonzaga have to keep their foot on the gas, especially late in the game? But I don't see how you bet against Gonzaga. I really don't. I know the line. I think that's why the line's gone up 13.5 to 14.5. I don't even know if that number's high enough. Like, Gonzaga has just put their foot on people's throats all season long. They enjoy doing it. I think we're going to see an undefeated team. I think we could easily see a 20-point victory coming. I would not recommend betting against Gonzaga again the rest of the tournament.
If you wanted to bet on UCLA, do not do it right now. Wait. And even then, I would be looking at the live betting line because, like you said, if you think they can win by 20, well, then there's a great opportunity where if you want to be on the UCLA side of things, well, then just wait until the game and see what happens. Because if all of a sudden Gonzaga starts on a 9-2 run, all of a sudden you're going to be kind of happy that you're not sitting there holding a minus or a plus 14 ticket. On the Gonzaga side of things, I was thinking about it. I don't exactly feel all warm and fuzzy dropping 14. The only thing I was thinking of is, do you dare wait to bet on Gonzaga for the live line to see, could you get them at 12 if maybe UCLA? And I'm getting cute, I get it, but I'm just trying to figure out ways that we can chop this up, knowing that 14 is a huge number, that the market and the live betting side of things at least presents opportunities, even though one of the challenges to waiting is that Gonzaga has scored 83 points in every single game of this tournament. So, you know, by design, they're going to be gas pedaling this thing the entire way.
I just do not see how you bet against this Gonzaga team. I really don't. And I think we talked about there's ways maybe with the player props, MVPs, right? Like you could get Timmy or their point guard or bet. Get it, because right now what are they? They're minus 260, right, to win the whole thing. But those props are a little bit lower, you were saying.
So we might as well just get right into that. So let's look at the futures to win the title. Gonzaga minus 250, Baylor plus 250, Houston plus 700, UCLA plus 2,500. So the thing that was in my mind was, there's no way I'm laying minus 250 for Gonzaga to win this. What's the better way? And this is similar to how do you bet the Chiefs in a Super Bowl? It's like a lot of times people say, well, let me get Patrick Mahomes at whatever, plus 150 to win MVP instead of dropping whatever the money line is on the Chiefs. So right now, Kispert and Timmy are both plus 350 for most outstanding player. So I believe you could actually just split the difference and say, give me a unit on each of them instead of having to put 2.5 units on Gonzaga minus 250 to try and win it all.
I like that. I like that. I know Suggs, but his numbers, he hasn't had the best of tournaments, but he could go off in the Final Four and steal it. But I like your thinking there of going with the two mainstays, because that is, it's a lot better of a price.
And I've actually been way more impressed with Timmy than I have been Kispert. I know Kispert's good, but he hasn't exactly shot the ball great. And Timmy, every time you see him, that dude is a force. I've been so incredibly impressed because of how effortless and smooth as a big man, like, he has been unstoppable in this tournament.
And UCLA does not have the size inside. They have one guy basically that can maybe guard, slow him down. They just destroyed USC, though, who had the Twin Towers, the Mobley brothers. Everyone's like, oh, the size and length's going to bother Gonzaga. And it didn't. And I don't see that UCLA changing that at all.
So since I'm not dropping minus 250 on Gonzaga, I would then be like, all right, well, if I were to bet one of these futures, what would it be? And I think Baylor plus 250 would have to be the option of the four of them, because Baylor was the team. And when I looked in our podcast a month ago, we said Gonzaga and Baylor versus the field. And it was pretty much, you get to choose which one. And I can't stop thinking about the Illinois game versus Loyola, where Illinois was, for many people, the number two favorite to win it all. And at no point were they in that game versus Loyola. It was just, they did not recognize the team that we had watched the entire season. So I'm acutely aware that the best teams in the nation can have that happen. It could happen to Gonzaga. We might not see it, but we didn't see it for Illinois. And if that's the case, I probably feel the most comfortable on Baylor being the team that could step up in at least one hang or two. If something wonky goes, I kind of like Baylor.
I wish we could go back in time. I was thinking about that. It was during the regular season we came on. You gave me that question. Would you take the bet because I was just saying Gonzaga and Baylor, they're head and shoulders above, better than anyone else. And the Vegas was offering that bet at plus money odds at the time too. And man, if I was holding that ticket right now, that would feel very nice. But it is, it seems like it's a two horse race, but I kind of like this Houston team a little bit more than most. I was curious what. So you're a Baylor, then you're all on Baylor in this next game?
Well, I'm not. I was looking strictly on if I had to do one of the futures. I mean, certainly Houston at plus 700, that is attractive. But I see, once again, this being a two-horse race. And if given the choice, give me the give me plus 250 instead of minus 250, even though we see that Gonzaga's better. So, well, not better, but just they're favored. So let's get to the other matchup. We got Baylor laying 5, taking on Houston. Over-under on this game, 144.5. Baylor 3-1 against the spread in the tournament. Houston 2-2 against the spread, and they have faced 4 double-digit seeds. So it has not been the gauntlet that UCLA has had to have to get here. And here's an interesting nugget. This is the first game all season in which Houston is an underdog.
It's like, that's the storyline. Houston, they played one team in the Ken Palm top 30 rankings, as you mentioned, all double-digit seeds, even though Oregon State wasn't playing as a double-digit. They weren't playing as well. They were playing as well as any of those teams. They're definitely at the peak of their game, but I am higher on Houston than most. I actually had my big bet on them against Oregon State. I was feeling great at halftime, 17-point lead, and they just kind of went into the stall, played more Oregon State's game, slowed down, and then the back door was open, the 3-ball at the very end. They actually the game got tied at one point, and then Houston turned it back on, basically almost covered. But I am higher on this Houston team than most. They're so good defensively. They're so lanky and athletic, so good defensively. But this year, they're also offensively, they're talented. They're actually 8th in the country efficiency-wise offensively. They have a ton of shooters, and they rebound. They're the second best offensive rebounding team in the country. I am a believer. Their one weakness, they foul a ton because they play so physical. But Baylor, that isn't their strength. Baylor's actually – I think they're near the bottom, 325th in percentage of their points that come from the free throw line. If this line gets to 5.5, which I think it might, if it keeps creeping up, you might see me on Houston come Final Four time. I think Baylor maybe gets the W, but I think we're going to see a battle. It's going to be a close one. I wouldn't be surprised if Houston wins, but Houston cost me last round, but I love them. I might have to ride them again here in the Final Four.
Another thing of note, these are two of the best defensive three-point shooting teams, both of them holding opponents in the tournament to 30% or less from three-point land. And you'd make that think, oh, well, with these teams being good defensively, does that mean that it's an under game? Not necessarily, because both of these teams, as we've established, are also both good offensively.
Totally. Baylor loves the run and gun. That's why I do think if we see the Gonzaga-Baylor final, that's what everyone wants to see, and that's going to be an up-and-down game. But I do think Houston's going to try to slow this game down a bit, and I think it's possible that they will be able to achieve that. And 5's a big number. Hopefully some 5.5s pop, but, man, I'm a fan of this Cougar team, and I think I might be putting some money behind it.
So if we were to follow this line movement, if it goes from 5 to 4.5 as opposed to 5 to 5.5, what does that tell you?
Tells if I, because Ken Palm has this at a 1-point spread. My numbers guy personally has it at a 3-point spread. I'm probably going to grab some plus 5, but I can just see the market right now. Everyone loves Baylor. I mean, it's kind of not a popular opinion, but there's a lot of Baylor money out there, and rightfully so. They're a great team. I could see it falling to 4.5, but I could also see it. I think it's going to go back and forth, really. I mean, it's probably it'll land on 5 come game time, but I think you'll either be able to pick off some 5.5s. Or pick off some 4.5s. If it hits 4.5, though, I think the short money definitely is on Houston. That's the way I'm leaning, at least.
Yeah, and I'm going to feel more comfortable getting the points with Houston than I would with UCLA. One last thing on the UCLA side of things, as I was thinking about chopping that up, if I were to be on UCLA, the only way I would be on UCLA, I looked at the alternate spread. And I'm like, all right, how can I make this a little bit more appealing to me? You can get UCLA at plus 10 from plus 14 at plus 175. If you're telling me now that they've only got to lose by 10 instead of 14, well, I know that's 4 points, But as we saw in that Kentucky Syracuse game where it went from 14 to 9, boom, all of a sudden you're getting that plus money there. So for me, if I'm on UCLA, I'm going to do some sort of exotic bet because I don't want just straight up bets on UCLA, even though I'm not in the business of trying to look to bet against Gonzaga.
I like that strategy. Gonzaga just doesn't take bad shots. And I do think if they do have a cold night though, and then you're getting those plus odds. They shot very poorly against Oklahoma in the round of 32. And Oklahoma probably should have covered that spread. There was a late technical foul, extra free throws that Gonzaga covered. But if you catch Gonzaga on a cold shooting night, I'm right there with you. Maybe get that double dip. But, man, you won't find me probably wagering any money against this freight train that's probably going to run a perfect season, which is going to be an incredible story.
By the way, that Oklahoma foul was atrocious. Oh, that guy's like, awful. What did I do? I'm like, what did you do? You almost killed the guy. It's like he barely touched him. I'm like, no, that was clearly a flagrant foul. I don't know if he got kicked out of the game, but he definitely deserved it. Pushing a dude from behind on a breakaway layup. That was absurd.
What are you doing? I know. What are you? Just an unsafe play. You know that's going to get called every time. Obviously, they were down or close to double digits at the time. The game was already settled, but for sports bettors, for people taking the line, that's what determined the game. So it's rough, but that's the madness.
So Sean, love jamming about college hoops with you. Where can everybody connect with you?
On Twitter at DA, the real Papa Bear, P-A-P-A Bear. Giving out free bets all the time, talking sports, just another sports bettor. So just get at me on Twitter. And if you have any questions, let me know.
And I want to hear from you. What is your Final Four action looking like? And I'm also curious, as a totality, how has your bankroll or ROI on March Madness been? Let us know. We've been candid about how we're getting down because we're part of the sports betting community. We love jumping on Twitter, chopping it up, doing live bets, props, and everything in between. You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy. Make sure to use hashtag Sharp600 and be part of our community. And also make sure to tag at Covers. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money.
The broken down the devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rope. If you like the way the sound pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.